From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia Vice President Ma'ruf Amin hopes more Indonesian halal products enter global market. U.S. troops in Afghanistan, Republicans alarmed by withdrawal plans. Now the news in details. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has said he hopes more Indonesian halal goods and services will penetrate the global market through cooperation with other countries. Ma'ruf Amin said at the virtual launch of the State of the Global Islamic Economy SGIE report 2020-2021 in Jakarta on Tuesday, that in the future, it is hoped that cooperation in the economic and trade fields can be expanded and at the same time, investment opportunities can be opened up and marketing of Indonesian halal products and services can go to the global market. The Vice President also welcomed the improvement in Indonesia's ranking from 5th in 2019 to 4th in 2020 in the SGIE report 2020-2021. According to the report, Indonesia has managed to expand its Islamic economic ecosystem through several incentives facilitating industry and investment in infrastructure, halal products and services. The Vice President also said he is also optimistic that Indonesia's ranking in the development of the Islamic economy can encourage national economic recovery PEN by the end of 2021. The Republic of Indonesia and the Islamic Republic of Iran shared best practices on making districts and cities child-friendly during online meetings connecting Jakarta, Bali and Tehran. Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection's PPPA, Igusti Ayu Bintang Dharmawati Puspayoga, said in Denpasar, Bali, that Indonesia and Iran are member countries of the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which shows this commitment of the two countries to promote the fulfillment of children's rights in an inclusive nation building. The meeting was covered virtually from Jakarta on Tuesday. The minister said the best practices shared by the two countries on creating child-friendly districts and cities
involve a child-based development system through integrating commitments and resources from the government, society, media, and the business world. Minister Puspayoga said the regional government law emphasizes government affairs in the field of child protection are mandatory and must be carried out by the government together with and through the support of the community, the media, and the business world. During the meeting, Vice President for Women and Family Affairs
of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Masumeh Ebtekar, expressed the hope that the implementation of child-friendly districts and cities in Indonesia and Iran can set an example for other countries in Asia. Head of the Task Force for Acceleration of Handling COVID-19, Doni Monardo, underscored that the safety of people shall be the highest law. To this end, the Task Force for Acceleration of Handling COVID-19 is doing its utmost to safeguard the community from contracting COVID-19. Monardo emphasized on Tuesday that this is solely for the sake of providing the best protection to the nation. Solus Populi Suprema Lex, people's safety is the highest law. On the same occasion, he encouraged all parties to build collective awareness of staying disciplined in applying health protocols, including wearing masks, washing hands, maintaining safe required distance, and avoiding crowds. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The U.S. is to cut its number of troops in Afghanistan and Iraq by 2,500, the U.S. Department of Defense confirmed. U.S. President Donald Trump has long called for troops to come home and has criticized U.S. intervention abroad. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, usually a staunch defender of Trump, called the plan a mistake. He also warned the president against taking any earth-shaking changes in regards to defense and foreign policy before leaving the White House. Trump is yet to concede to Democrat Joe Biden, and the cuts are scheduled to take place 5 days before Biden takes office in January 2021. The president-elect has said he is rightly wary of the longest war in Afghanistan, but also said there was a need to end the war responsibly in a manner that ensure that both guard against threats to their homeland and never have to go back. The head of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, on Monday welcomed the encouraging news about the COVID-19 vaccine. Despite the encouraging news about the COVID-19 vaccine, Tedros stated that complacency is not an option because there is still a surge in cases in many countries.
This is not the time for complacency. While we continue to receive encouraging news about COVID-19 vaccines and remain cautiously optimistic about the potential for new tools to start to arrive in the coming months.
Ghebreyesus' statement came when a number of pharmaceutical companies claimed their vaccine effectiveness is up to 90%. Tedros said that a vaccine would not be enough to stop the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 vaccine is only one of efforts to control the spread of the virus. Moreover, Ghebreyesus' father said that the vaccine at the beginning would only be limited to a certain number of groups. Vaccine will be given to health workers, the elderly, and other population at risk to reduce death and allow health system to keep up with them. Meanwhile, the famous virologist in the United States, Dr. Anthony Fauci, also warned the same thing with WHO. He said that when the COVID-19 vaccine is available to the public, humans would still not live normally. He still recommends that people wear masks and practice social distancing. French police on Tuesday cleared a migrant street camp outside the Stade de France stadium north of Paris, where around 2,000 people, mainly Afghan and African, had been living in a cramped tents. Dozens of police were deployed to carry out the operation, which took place in the midst of a nationwide coronavirus lockdown. The occupants of the camp, which had mushroomed in size in recent weeks, were taken by bus to COVID-19 testing center. Those who tested positive were to be placed in isolation, while those who tested negative were to be taken to various shelters and sport halls around the French capital. Paris is a key stop-off point on the European migrant route, with tented camps repeatedly sprouting up around the city, only to be torn down by the police a few months later. Over the past year, migrants have decamped to the suburbs to try avoid being moved on by the police. Paris Police Chief Didier Lallement told reporters that those migrants who were cleared to remain in France would be given accommodation, but those without bona fide asylum claims were not destined to remain on French soil. Following Pfizer and BioNTech, the U.S. pharmaceutical company Moderna on Monday announced the initial results of the clinical trials of its COVID-19 vaccine. CEO Moderna said the effectiveness of the vaccine was claimed to be close to 95%.
So we are very excited to announce this morning that the vaccine, at its first interim analysis of a phase 3, the real test, no placebo control, has shown 94.5% efficacy.
Clinical trials involved 30,000 volunteers in the United States. The initial analysis was based on the first 95 volunteers who showed symptoms of COVID-19. Of these volunteers, only 5 came from the vaccine injection group and the remaining 90 volunteers came from the placebo group. This 95% effective rate adds to believe a vaccine can help to end the pandemic. Reported by Channel News Asia, President of Moderna, Stephen Hoge, said the effectiveness of the vaccine produced by Moderna is a big news. However, according to him, his party is still undergoing regulatory reviews and research to obtain more data.
Knowing the vaccine is going to be effective is great news, but we still need to complete the regulatory process, which involves completing the study and generating more data.
Pharmaceutical company Moderna plans to register to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for a vaccine authorization as soon as it collects more safety data later this month. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today on realizing peace between Armenia and Azerbaijan. The fighting stopped. Nagorno-Karabakh on the border of Azerbaijan and Armenia is no longer a scene of gunfire. The death toll from the military and civilians on both sides, namely Azerbaijan and Armenia, has not increased anymore. The peace agreement between the two countries apparently succeeded in mediating the armed conflict that occurred. The beautiful Caucasia region is no longer full of the sound of mortar, rifle, and bomb blasts. The peace agreement between Armenia and Azerbaijan, which took place on November 10, 2020, became a momentum for solving the problem. Not only the president of Azerbaijan and the prime minister of Armenia who signed the peace agreement. Russian President Vladimir Putin co-signed it on Monday, November 11, 2020, at 1 a.m. in the city of Baku. Russia's participation on the signing of the peace agreement certainly shows how much influence and interest this country has in Armenia, at least. What is interesting is Turkey's exclusions from the agreement. While in fact, it cannot be denied that Turkey also has interest and influence in Azerbaijan, the existence of the two countries, namely Russia and Turkey, in the dispute between Armenia and Azerbaijan, has been a part of history for a long time. Both Azerbaijan and Armenia were part of the Soviet Union before it broke up due to the perestroika. As a follow-up to the peace agreement, Russia felt the need to send peacekeeping troops. President Putin confirmed this in his speech after the peace agreement was signed. At least nearly 2,000 military personnel will be involved, what is known as peacekeeping. Although it did not make a direct statement, Turkey is also likely to take part in peacekeeping action. The Azerbaijani president revealed Turkey's involvement in a statement following Putin's speech. The world hopes that this agreement will become a milestone for the creation of sustainable peace between Azerbaijan and Armenia, not just to temporarily to stop the fierce fighting in Nagorno-Karabakh that happened for weeks that has left thousands dead. The hope of lasting peace on the border of Azerbaijan and Armenia is very reasonable because previously there has been a peace agreement in the Caucasian region. In the 1980s and early 90s, armed conflicts resulted in the death of thousands and an influx of people from Nagorno-Karabakh. At that time, the fighting stopped because of the peace agreement. But lately, the commitment to maintain the peace was violated by both parties and led to the next conflict or war. The current dispatch of peacekeepers, both by Russia and Turkey, is certainly expected to maintain peace. These two countries, which are foreign parties with influence in the Azerbaijan and Armenia dispute, must have a joint commitment to always mediate whenever there is a potential for confrontation. They must be able to use their influence for the creation of lasting peace between Azerbaijan and Armenia. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawadi.
Hello listener, we meet again in Today in History of a Voice of Indonesia. We start from a story on November 18, 1918, the independence of Latvia. Latvian independence was proclaimed on November 18, 1918 at the Latvian National Theater. Although no boundaries were set, a group of nationalists declared the Latvian state independent on November 18, 1918. Several months after this bold move, military intervention was still ongoing because the Russian Empire did not want to lose this important territory. Latvia was occupied and controlled by the Soviet Union in the 1940 to 1941 and 1945 to 1991 period, and by Nazi Germany in the 1941 to 1945 period. The peaceful singing revolution of the 1987 to 1991 period and the Baltic Way demonstration on August 23, 1989, have widened the chances of independence for the Baltic states. In line with these conditions, Latvia declared a de facto restoration of independence on August 21, 1991. Now we move to a history on November 18, 1993. 21 political parties agreed the new constitutions in South Africa. South Africa is known to the world as a country that has a phenomenal history in the process of democratization. Amid Nelson Mandela's flames of patriotism, South Africa succeeded in ending the apartheid regime that had gripped from 1979 to 1991. On November 18, 1993, 21 political parties in South Africa approved a new constitution that is considered democratic for South Africa, namely the Provisional Constitution. It is called a Provisional Constitution because a more permanent constitution will not be formed hastily, like a temporary constitution. The Provisional Constitution adopted in 1993 transformed Parliament into a two-chamber system consisting of the National Assembly and the National Council of Parliament or Senate. The Provisional Constitution also includes a Bill of Rights, changing the tricameral into bicameral system, and the inclusion of a Bill of Rights is considered the foundation for a new democratic life in South Africa. We'll end with a history on November 18, 2004, Russia signed Kyoto Protocol. The Kyoto Protocol to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is a legal agreement under which industrialized countries will reduce their greenhouse gas emissions collectively by 5.2% compared to 1990. The aim is to reduce emissions from six greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, sulfur hexafluoride, HFC and PFC. Countries that ratify his protocol commit to reducing greenhouse gas emissions or working together on reducing emissions. The Kyoto Protocol, which was agreed upon in Kyoto, Japan in December 1997, entered into force on February 16, 2005, after Russia officially ratified the treaty on November 18, 2004. That was today in history.
Di hening malam.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here's today's My Indonesia titled 15 countries sign the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. President Joko Widodo stated the implementation of Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, agreement requires high political commitment. The signing was only a beginning, while a long and steep road might be waiting ahead. That was stated by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in a virtual press conference from Bogor Palace on Sunday, November the 15th. Retno conveyed that after the RCEP signing, which was done by 10 ASEAN member countries, along with 5 ASEAN partner countries, namely Australia, New Zealand, China, Japan, and South Korea. According to Retno Marsudi, the RCEP country signees expressed appreciation for Indonesian leadership during the negotiation process. According to Retno, the negotiation showed ASEAN leadership in their relationship with partner countries. RCEP is Indonesia's initiative when being the leader of ASEAN and was agreed during ASEAN leader meeting in November 2011. The first negotiation began in March 2013, and Indonesia was the RCEP negotiation leader. Retno Marsudi said RCEP is expected to create conducive and competitive conditions for economy in Indo-Pacific. RCEP also marked the commitment towards open, just, and mutually beneficial multilateral trade principles. Besides Retno Marsudi, Trade Minister of Indonesia Agus Subarmanto said RCEP had been through a long process, namely 31 rounds of plenary negotiation. 15 country signees of RCEP cumulatively represented 29.6% world population, 30.2% global gross domestic product, 27.4% of the global trade, and 29.8% global foreign direct investment. Data of Indonesia's export to 14 RCEP countries for the last 5 years showed a positive trend, namely 7.35%, while in 2019, the total non-oil and gas export to RCEP region represented 56.51% of the total export of Indonesia to the world, namely around $84.4 billion. Meanwhile, for import, RCEP represented 65.79% total import of Indonesia from the world, namely $102 billion. Agus Suparmanto quoted a research from a private company in September 2020, which concluded that after 5 years of ratification, RCEP is very potential to increase Indonesia's export to the member countries around 8 to 11%, and the investment into Indonesia around 18 to 22%. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
Tiba saat mengerti jerit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskanlah merajut asa, menjalin mimpi, hendakkan sepi-sepi. Apa adanya. bisik suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskanlah.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Coaba Island. East Nusa Tenggara is a paradise for nature lovers. Biodiversity, peace, and beauty of East Nusa Tenggara's land that stretches from the air, land, to the seabed seem to become everyone's dream. This natural charm is able to attract the attention of both domestic and foreign tourists. East Nusa Tenggara, as the most exotic province in eastern Indonesia, offers millions of biodiversity that is worth being explored. West Manggarai is also an area that offers a row of exotic tours. One of them is Coaba Island, or also known as Kalong Island, which is located not far from Komodo National Park. This island is included in the Seven Wonders of the World and is a large habitat for giant bats, or also called kalong, that inhabit a row of exotic trees on the island. The detailed location of Coaba Island is located in Manggarai Regency, precisely in the Mbeliling Protected Forest Area in Labuan Bajo. To get to the island, if you depart by plane, you can get off at the nearest airport, or it is recommended to get off in Denpasar, Bali. From Bali, you can continue your trip by taking a long-distance ferry for approximately 4 to 5 hours to East Nusa Tenggara. Arriving there, take a public bus to the port of Labuan Bajo. Then continue by speedboat or canoe to Coaba Island for about 8 kilometers, or it takes about 1 hour by sea transportation. Although it is a bit tiring on the way, when you get there, you will be presented with a very beautiful view. All your tiredness will be paid off with this beautiful view. This small island with dense forest and surrounded by blue sea water containing millions of marine animals and plants, is the home of thousands of large bats or kalong that perch in the trees during the day and roam from evening to night to hunt. Even though it is inhabited by thousands of bats, many visitors say that it is a little difficult to find bats because the nocturnal nightlife is difficult to navigate. However, you can try to see them around 6 p.m. There are no lodging facilities on this island, so it is highly recommended that you enjoy some diving spots in the island area while waiting for the night creature to appear. Tour managers near the port have provided rental masks, fins, buoys, gas cylinders, two diving and swimming suits. Spending time in natural tourism areas such as Quaba Island is the most appropriate choice to be able to see directly the greatness of God, who has given privileges to Indonesia with its diverse culture, natural charm, and biodiversity. And listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Quaba Island. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Sangka getaran ini ada saat jumpa yang pertama. Mataku tak dapat terlepas darimu. Perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Darimu. Perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Kau dipilah.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membeli tiket nonton, in English, buying movie tickets. Listen to this conversation about membeli tiket nonton, in English, buying movie tickets. Kevin buys movie tickets for him and Rama.
Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Saya mau pesan tiket film Gundala untuk 2 orang.
Untuk jadwal filmnya, mau pesan tiket yang pukul 2 siang?
Ya, saya pesan tiket film yang tayang pukul 2 siang saja.
Harga tiketnya jadi Rp100.000 ya?
Ya, ini uangnya.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means can I help you? Tiket film, which means movie ticket. Jadwal film, which means movie schedule. Pukul, which means time. Tayang, which means show. If you want to buy movie ticket, you can immediately mention a film you will see and number of ticket you will buy, such as the sentence, saya mau pesan tiket film Gundala untuk 2 orang, which means I want to buy tickets of Gundala movie for 2 persons. Usually, the ticket officer will see the empty chairs and give a recommendation of movie schedule by saying, untuk jadwal filmnya, mau pesan tiket yang pukul berapa? Which means, what time of movie tickets you want to order? To respond the question, you can say, ya, saya pesan tiket film yang tayang pukul 4 sore. Which means, I order movie tickets for the show at 4 p.m. Other examples? Ticket officer, untuk jadwal filmnya mau pesan tiket yang pukul berapa? Which means, what time of movie tickets you want to order? Kevin, saya pesan tiket yang tayang pukul 2 saja. Which means, I order movie tickets for the show of 2 p.m. Saya mau pesan tiket film Gundala untuk 2 orang. Which means, I want to buy tickets of Gundala movie for 2 persons. Ticket officer, ya baik, kira-kira mau pesan tiket yang tayang pukul berapa? Which means, okay, what time of movie tickets for the show you want to order? Kevin, saya mau pesan tiket film yang tayang pukul 2. Which means, I want to order the movie tickets for the show at 2 p.m. In the Indonesian language, the precise word to express time is pukul. The word pukul will be followed by numbers and adverb of time, such as pagi or morning, siang afternoon, sore evening, or malam night. For example, film itu akan tayang pukul 5 sore, which means the film will play at 5 p.m. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Saya mau pesan tiket film Gundala untuk 2 orang.
Untuk jadwal filmnya, mau pesan tiket yang pukul 2 siang?
Ya, saya pesan tiket film yang tayang pukul 2 siang saja.
Harga tiketnya jadi Rp100.000 ya?
Ya, ini uangnya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I would like to present a song entitled Banyu Moto. The song Banyu Moto was composed by Harry Marwanto. This Javanese song is popularized by a duet of Nella Karisma and Dori Harsa. The song Banyu Moto was released in June 2020 on the YouTube site. Up to November 2020, the music video of Banyu Moto has been played around 37 million times. The arrangement of the song has been played around 37 million viewers. The arrangement of the song is divided into two parts. The first part is like a pop song accompanied by electric guitar and gamelan music instrument, while the second part is like campursari music nuance, accompanied by the drum and angklung music instrument. The lyrics of the song Banyu Moto narrate about a song especially composed and dedicated by someone for their lover. The contents of the song express the promise to always love the lover until the end of life. Listener, here is the song Banyu Moto sung by Nella Karisma and Dori Harsa. Enjoy the song.
Kanggo kowe sing paling tak tenani nganti saiki.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.